Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study of biblical characters. And tonight we're going to take a look at Esther. Esther, of course, is one of the two books of the Bible that have named after women. The other one, of course, is the book of Ruth. So we're going to begin tonight and look at Esther as time permits. We see that it says in chapter 1 of Esther, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this is Ahasuerus, "which reigned from India even to Ethiopia over 127 provinces." Now, we see with the story of Esther that Ahasuerus was the king, was a Gentile king at the time. And what had happened, he had expelled the queen from her throne at his side and was in need of a new queen. He had the fair ladies come by and apply for the throne. Esther, through the leadership of her cousin Mordecai, was an aspirant for the throne and wanted to be the wife of the king. The first thing that we want to see about Esther, that Esther was chaste and pure. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Esther, chapter 2, in verse number 2. "Then the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king." In other words, we see here that she was a virgin to be even able to, to be part of those that would be chosen for the position as queen. Had she not been a virgin, amen, she could not have been the queen. Nothing will give one the opportunity for future usefulness quite as much as being clean and pure. I know in the scriptures we're told to flee youthful lust, amen? We should stress, amen, the importance of young people entering the marriage altar pure and clean. And this will give them opportunities for service in the future that are unlimited. So we see, first of all, that she was chaste and pure. And that's the Apostle Paul describes the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, were espoused to him as a chaste virgin. So the Christian is to keep his life clean and pure for her espoused husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The other thing we want to see about Esther, not only was she chaste and pure, but Esther was fair. Again, in Esther chapter 2 and verse number 3 with me, if you would. "And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the woman under the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them." So she was fair. In other words, she was pretty as she could be. And in fact, a lady should be pretty. And she should use her beauty for the glory of God. Had Esther not been fair and kept herself pure and beautiful, she would not have been able to be a help. Amen. The third thing that we want to see about Esther, we saw that she was chaste and pure and she was fair. But the name itself, Esther, means star. And she certainly was a star in the true sense of the word. And of course, when we say star, we're not talking about the Hollywood or Hollywood stars. Amen. But we're talking in a godly sense. She was special, not the ordinary run-of-the-mill saved woman of her day, amen. She was head and shoulders above. She was really, she was fair, she was beautiful, she was chaste and pure, and she conducted herself as a godly woman as she was. So we see then that the name Esther means star. Also, we see that Esther had a humble origin. Look with me in Esther chapter 2 again in verse number 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So we see that here she came from a humble background. Her parents were dead, amen. And we see her cousin, amen, Mordecai, reared her as his own daughter. And what we see here is that God can use people with humble backgrounds and humble beginnings, as shown here. We see many cases in the Word of God where he uses people of humble beginnings or humble origins, amen, mightily, amen. For example, we remember in the gospel accounts where God used a little lad, a young boy with a few fishes and loaves of bread to feed 5,000, because that young lad was willing to give all that he had to the Lord. We also saw that the Lord Jesus Christ used uneducated commercial fishermen, amen, to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, amen. These men were not learned in the things of their day, amen, or the Mosaic law, amen. They were Jewish commercial fishermen, amen. They were roughnecks, as you were. The fishermen were a rough crowd, amen. But he used them nevertheless in a mighty way. Who can forget even though Peter denied the Lord 3 times, amen, he came back, amen, and was restored by the Lord, amen. And we see at the day of Pentecost that he preached, amen, a mighty, mighty message. And many were added to the Lord that day. And then we see also that God used a little Jewish maiden, amen, who was taken captive by the Assyrian army. This little Jewish maiden, amen, was used to cure the great commander of the Syrian army, Naaman, of his a leprosy, amen. And then who can forget that little Jew named Jonah, who turned the great Gentile city Nineveh to the Lord by his preaching, amen, once he did what God told him to do, amen. So we see that Esther had a humble beginning. We also see she was cared for by a member of her family. We read again in the Esther chapter 2, verse 7, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Mordecai was her cousin, and he had reared her. You know, we should develop family ties and care for those in our families. Just as Mordecai cared for Esther, amen, that's what we should do with our family members, amen. Especially those of us have many unsaved relatives, amen. Maybe you have elderly parents that are unsaved and you're saved, and how you take care of them is a witness and testimony. And I can speak for myself, amen. My mother is gone, is passed on to be with the Lord, amen. She'll be gone 8 years this coming year, but I praise the Lord. I led her to the Lord at age 80 years old, and the reason for that is because of the way my wife and I lived our lives after we got saved. They thought it wasn't just a passing fancy, and also with a care that I gave my mother, even up until her death, amen. So we see that Esther was cared for by a member of her family. And she was also obedient to Mordecai, her cousin. Look in Esther chapter 2 again with me, in verse number 20. We read, Esther had not yet shewed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. So we see she was obedient to Mordecai. And this obedience was from childhood. She had trained from a child. She had been trained from a child in obedience. She was trained in the way she should go, amen. And perhaps the greatest character aid in the world is to be taught obedience as a child, amen. It's a sad thing today, even among Christian parents, they're not teaching their children obedience and the importance of it. How, let us notice in what serious matter Esther obeyed her cousin. We see that she was obedient to Mordecai. There was a, we want to notice the serious matter that she was obedient to her cousin. There was a man named Haman who had been promoted to prime minister, second only to the king. And you see that as you read the chapters here in Esther. And the people bowed before Haman. But Mordecai, the cousin of Esther, refused to bow before Haman. And because of this, Haman was infuriated and vowed to kill Mordecai. Finding out that Mordecai was a Jew, Haman came before the king, accused the Jews, and subtly, amen, we know who acts subtly, that's the devil, and subtly got a decree from the king to have all the Jews killed. He prepared gallows on which to hang Mordecai. What an unjust thing this is, but thank God the story is not over yet, amen. Esther said that she would go to the king and try to help. However, amen, Mordecai heard of this awful decree that Haman had enticed the king to make, and Mordecai told Esther about it. And she was obedient, amen, to Mordecai. She said that she would go to the king and try to help. However, a person that went before the king into his inner court without his permission could be killed. Even though it be the queen, even though Esther was the queen, she still could be killed. The only thing that would spare this person's life would be for the king to hold up his golden scepter. In other words, anyone who came into the inner chamber of the king was taking a chance on losing his or her life. Despite that, Esther said she would do it. And this leads us to the next point. Esther was a woman of courage. Amen. Esther was a woman of courage, was she not? Looking in verse 16 of Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4 in verse number 16 we read. Let's get the context in verse 15. Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. She said, despite all the risk, I will go in unto the king. She risked her life for the lives of her people, for the Jews. This is not to say she was not afraid. In fact, recklessness and courage are two different things. Real courage often is determined by the degree of fear. Amen. Notice in that verse we just read, and I'll read it again, she realized the need of prayer. She said there, go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. So she saw the need of prayer and fasting. Amen. This was very important. Amen. And we see, if you've ever prayed and fast, amen, God really moves, because he loves it when you and I deny our sinful flesh. Amen. See, she told the Mordecai to have the people fast for 3 days and three nights and pray for God to intercede for her and the people. Let us also realize our need of prayers and concern of others. Amen. We need to realize how important that is. Amen. That's a powerful weapon, prayer and fasting at our disposal. And if we do it and have others to do it, amen, when there's something of great concern and matter, God really moves. Let's continue the story. So Esther pursued her course. She went before the king, and the king held up his golden scepter and spared her life. She asked the king if she could have a banquet for him, for Haman, who was the enemy who threatened to kill Mordecai and was having the Jews exterminated, and for her. Now Haman is so pleased with the banquet the queen is having for him and the king that he goes home and he tells all his friends and neighbors the honor that has been bestowed upon him. He toots his own horn and spreads his own glory, thinking the banquet indeed is in his honor. A miracle took place, however, and God spared the Jews. You know, thank God he intervenes when he can find someone courageous enough to stand, like Esther. Look in Esther chapter 6 with me, verses 1 to 3. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigtanah and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. So let's notice what happened here. The king goes to bed that night, but he finds he cannot sleep. His sleep is troubled. He tosses and turns and decides he will try to read himself to sleep. We all know that what that's like. He asks for someone to bring him the books of the Chronicles, telling of the history and the workings of his nation. Providentially, an unusual story is brought to him as he reads. The story is about Mordecai. The story tells about two men that were going to kill the king, and how Mordecai had heard about it and saved the king's life. The king was surprised to read that Mordecai had saved his life, and called someone to ask if Mordecai had been honored for this gallant and courageous act. And the answer came that he had not been honored. About that time, Haman comes in. Haman, thinking the king is about to honor him, thinking that the Jews are about to be killed, and not knowing of the king's dream, is asked by the king what he would suggest that a king do to honor someone whom honor is due. Now, Haman, thinking it is to be for himself, suggests that the king take the king's apparel, the king's horse, the king's crown, and have a parade in the honor of this person. Haman could see himself being the object of such adoration and praise. He did not realize that the king was asking for some way to honor Haman's bitterest enemy. So it is. The king asks Haman to go to get his apparel, his horse, his crown, and give it to Mordecai. Then they have the parade in Mordecai's honor. Amen. Now we want to see how sin is punished. And that's to chapter 7, verse 10. You know, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, this payment for one sin. Amen. For the Christian that continues to sin after he's saved, the payment is in this life. Amen. Coming under the chastising hand of the Lord. For those who are unsaved and don't get saved before their death, the wages of sin is death. The payment is eternal lake of fire for eternity someday. Amen. But let's look here how sin is punished. In Esther chapter 7, verse 10. This is the end of the line for Haman. It says, so they hanged Haman, notice, on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified, amen? That's right, he was hanged by the gallows that he had built to hang Mordecai. As they say, what poetic justice, amen? We see that the banquet is held, amen, as you read the account in Esther. The queen tells the king the entire story, how that Haman had tried to kill her people, and how that he had been deceitful in so doing. Haman was killed. In fact, we saw that he was hanged on the same gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. You know, it's so true what the Word of God says. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. The Lord settled the account. He made the score even. Amen. This man, wicked man Haman, wanted to destroy the Jews and Mordecai. And what ended up happening? God fought the battle there. Amen. He used Esther. Amen. Providentially, she was a courageous woman, went into the king, risked her own life to do it, amen, and so forth and so on, and we see that Mordecai didn't have to lift a finger. The Lord took care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We need to remember that as Christians. You know, it says not to fret evildoers, amen. You know, it seems like sometimes the wicked and the evil are getting away with things. But remember, folks, there's a payday. They're not going to get away with it. They're going to get theirs. If they don't get saved, they don't get right with God now, there's going to be a payday someday, as the Word of God says. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, as we come to the conclusion of our study of Esther, we want to see how promotion came. Promotion came. Look in Esther chapter 9 with me. In verse number 4. Let's look at Mordecai. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out through all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Then also in Esther chapter 10. Esther chapter 10 with me. In verse number 3. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. So we see here the tables were turned. Mordecai took the place of Haman and was promoted to second in command in the entire kingdom. We see here how God blesses his own. And this was all made possible, amen, because of Esther, amen, because of her obedience, because she was chaste and pure and fair, that made her eligible to be amongst those that the king would choose for his queen, and she ended up being queen. We saw that her name meant star. She was certainly head and shoulders above any godly woman in that kingdom, amen. She came from humble origin, amen. She lost her parents, amen. She was brought up by her cousin Mordecai, and he cared for her like a daughter. And she was taught obedience by him. She was obedient to him as a child. She was brought up with obedience. She was trained in obedience. And that obedience came in handy when she was obedient to Mordecai to go intercede, amen, for her people, the Jews, because we saw Haman was out to destroy the Jews and out to destroy a Mordecai, amen. She was a woman of courage, we saw, was she not? Because we know she was taking a risk to go into the inner chamber without being beckoned by the king, amen, by being called by the king. And praise the Lord, he did lift up that golden scepter and said her to come, and amen, and she came in and told and had audience with the king. And then she realized all of this needed, not only she was a woman of courage, amen, but she knew that everything had to be bathed in prayer. And she requested Mordecai and the Jews there that were in Shushan to pray and fast, amen, over this important matter. And as we see, she was able to, God used her to intervene for the Jews. We see that the wicked Haman was punished. He was destroyed on the gallows that he had built to destroy Mordecai. And we finally see, yes, Esther is queen. Amen. Esther is queen. And we see that Mordecai is promoted to only second to the king there. And of course, in picture and type, we see Esther as a Gentile bride to, a Jewish bride, amen, to a Gentile king, amen. And we see that she is a picture of Israel, amen. And we see in some ways and types the prevention of the destruction, amen, of the remnant during the tribulation, as the Gentiles will have rule there, amen. And so as we come to a close here on this study in Esther, again, it's a great lesson in obedience, amen, how she was obedient from a child, and it carried all the way up into adulthood to her uncle Mordecai. So we conclude our study here in the book or the biblical character Esther, as we've gone through some of the chapters in Esther itself. We're going to continue next time and look at another biblical character here on the Pastor's Study. And till we meet again on the Pastor's Study, this is Brother Gino. I want to thank you for taking your time out today to listen to the Pastor's Study. It's a blessing to have each and every one of you with me today. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.